Good evening. Welcome to shareenjoyment.com. I'd like to begin by thanking Jake Weinman for his incredible effort in bringing us all together to learn Torah every night of the week. And I want to thank Mitch Green for his technical assistance and all our listeners. I actually have here in the room with me a close friend that's also participating. And as we always begin each Monday night, we want to thank our sponsor for dedicating the Shir Lezeche Uli'ilu Nishmas Manish Yitzchok Ben Aryeh. And he's Neshama Sarah Ben Aliyah. I noticed on the chat that there's a very distinguished person who has passed away that was very much involved in shirenjoyment.com. I wish my condolences to the family. And likewise, may his neshama have an aliyah, may the learning of tonight be of zechus ul'ilui nishmasai. Let us begin. This week, Parshas Vayeshev, a very beautiful parsha. There are many different topics in this parsha. I'd like to focus on the topic of kibud avoim. Kibud avoim is a very, very distinguished, very choshev mitzvah. It appears in the Aseres HaDibros. We are aware that in the Aseres HaDibros, the Torah promises reward, l'man yarichun yonecho, the reward of kibud avoim is long life. We all know that there is a reward for long life. There's a reward for every single mitzvah. That is a given. That is one of the animamins. There is reward and punishment. But it's interesting and it's important to note that only two mitzvahs does the Torah explicitly promise reward. And there can be no greater reward than time, than life. And that is the mitzvah of Shluch HaKan and the mitzvah of Kibud Avoim, L'man Yarichun Yonecha. What separates Kibud Avoim from Shluch HaKan is that although the Torah does not openly tell us about the opposite of reward for its observance, but the Torah in a very prominent way reveals that if chas v'sholem, the person does not give honor to his parents, there can be suffering, there can be punishment. And that we find in this week's parasha in a very, very open way. Rashi tells us that in the sixth parasha we learn how Yaakov was separated from his ben zekunim, from Yosef, for 22 years. A very painful, tragic episode. And Rashi makes it very clear, Rashi, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, tells us that the reason why Yaakov suffered with this Agmas Nefesh was Nida Kneged Nida, for him not honoring his parents for 22 years. Yaakov went to work at Laban's home for 14 years to work for Rachel and Leah, and then he worked an additional 6 years. And then Rashi tells us there were another 2 years he took to journey from Aram Naharayim back to Eretz Canaan, back to his home, for a total of 22 years in punishment for being away from his parents for 22 years, he himself, in his lifetime, suffered, for he was separated from his ben zikunim for 22 years. It's a very unusual revelation. There are many different instances in Chumash where we find that the Ishei HaTanach, the holy people that are mentioned in the Torah, were Chazal. They described minor imperfections, and only the Rishonim, the holy rabbis, can do something like this to highlight an imperfection. And they tell us that there was a consequence. But very rarely do we find the consequence being applied, being paid in their own lifetime. Yet, Yosef was separated from Yaakov for 22 years. And Chazal and the Torah with Rashi makes it very clear this was direct payment for not fulfilling kibud avoim. So we have here a parallel. We have, on the one hand, the Torah promises, l'man yarichun yonecho l'man yitav loch, if one will be l'kayim the mitzvah of kibud avoim. On the other hand, we have Yosef. The Torah highlights this very powerful story where there was punishment for not being l'kayim kibud avoim. I can't help but mentioning that over here, I'm fortunate tonight to have here in the room a very chasha person who wants to be anonymous, and he excels to the greatest degree in the midst of Kibbut Ava Aim. His father, Oliver Shalom, passed away. His father was a very big chazan, a very big cantor, and I witnessed many times incredible Siras Nefesh to the kindness of Kibbut Aim, and I feel a very big zuchus, hashkocha pratis in this topic. He's joining me here tonight. Should be a zuchus for him and for his mother. Arich HaSyamen. Now, going back to our topic, this very unique concept, very unique. And the converse, chas v'shalom, of what happens if a person is not mekayim. We have to ask the obvious questions. The obvious questions are, why indeed was Yaakov punished? What was Yaakov supposed to do? Yaakov, he went, first we all know that he did go for 14 years before he went to Lavan. He first spent 14 years learning in the Beis Medrash of Shem the Aver. And that, there's no mention of any complaint as to why he did not care for his parents then. But then when he went to marry Rachel and Leah, he's held accountable for the 14 years he worked for Rachel and Leah, and for the 6 years he worked for himself, and the 2 years that he traveled. This is a very common question. What else was he supposed to do? So let's talk about some of the common answers. There's one answer that I saw this suggested in the very Choshev Sefer called Shleimin Mitzion by Rav Ben Zion Felder, I believe, Zichron Levracha. And he brings up from the Mefarshim a suggestion that if Yaakov would have arrived in the home of Lavan with all of his assets, that, in other words, if he would have not given them away to Eliphaz in exchange for his life, Yaakov would have arrived in the home of Lavan, a very wealthy man. And he could have paid immediately 7 years worth of labor for Rachel. The fact, though, is he arrived as a poor man, empty-handed. So maybe the complaint why he was guilty of not returning back to his parents after getting married was because he allowed himself to be robbed by Eliphaz. He had nothing left. And now the only way he could marry Rachel or attempt to marry Rachel was by working. If he arrived a rich man, he could have paid immediately 7 years worth of labor to marry Rachel on the spot. Obviously, that's not an answer, because Chazal don't give that as an answer. Rashi, obviously, it's not a complaint. Yaakov Avinu had no choice. He had to save his life. And the only way he could escape from death from Eliphaz was by giving away his money. So that's not a complaint. Another answer possibly could be that after he married Leah, after Lavan tricked him and gave him Leah, he should have said, okay, I'm married to Leah. This is not the woman who I wanted to marry, but I have a wife. Lavan got the better of me. I'm married to Leah, and that's it. I worked 7 years, so let me go home right now. Let me go home after 7 years with Leah, and I'm done. Yaakov said, no, I want to marry Rachel. Maybe that's where the complaint begins. The complaint, we should calculate the complaint after 7 years. It would appear that's not a good answer. And the answer, why is that not a good answer? Because when Yaakov came to Aram Naharayim, who did he meet at the well? He met Rachel. The Pasuk says, Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel. It would appear that there was a commitment. Yaakov gave Rachel the simonim. When a person makes a commitment to another person, I will marry you. I will marry you. I'm going to work for 7 years to marry you. Lavan, he got the better of Yaakov. He gave Yaakov Leah instead of Rachel. He's married. He has fulfilled the requirements of his parents. His parents sent him to Ram Naharayim to get married. He is married. But Yaakov still made a commitment. A person cannot violate his commitment. Even when there is a mitzvah of kibbut avayim, a commitment captures the essence of a person's morals. Yaakov is the Ish Emet. He committed himself to Rachel just because love tricked him, does not absolve him from his obligation to Rachel. And he had to work another 7 years. So far we're good. We can't hold Yaakov accountable for the first 7 years, because for the first 7 years, he had no choice. He had to save his life. He had to give away his money. We can't hold him accountable for the second 7 years, because the second 7 years, he had to fulfill a commitment he had to another person. What's the next weak point? The next weak point is, why did Yaakov have to remain there another 6 years? Why? Why another 6 years? Rashi makes it very clear that Yosef, maybe you will answer, that Yaakov was afraid to return home without Yosef. V'hoya beis Yaakov le'esh uveis Yosef le'hova. Rashi explains that once Yosef was born, Esav was no longer a threat. Rashi says that after 14 years, Yosef was born. Yaakov could have gone back immediately to the home, his parents. Why did he want to stay longer and work for himself? So the truth is, Rashi answered this question back in Parashat Vayetze, and Rashi says something that is really, really extremely powerful, something which I myself overlooked. But look very carefully at the story when Yaakov wanted to go home, and the truth was he was ready to go. Back in Parashat Vayetze, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Chafei, the Pasuk says, Kasha Yol de Rochel es Yosef. Mishnola Sidna Shal Esav, Rashi explains that now that Yosef was born, Yaakov was prepared to go home. And he says to Lavan, I'm leaving. He says to him at that moment in time, Tino es Noshai, give me my wives, V'yes Yilodai, Asher Ovadeti Oysecha Bohein, V'yelecha, Kiata Yodata es Avodasi Asher Ovadeticha. And Rashi says something very, very important. Eini roitze lotzeis ki im bereshus. Yaakov Avinu wanted to leave immediately. He had on his hands the mitzvah of kibud av vo'em. He worked for 14 years. There is no complaint over these 14 years. There is no complaint for the 14 years he spent in the Beis Medrash of shame and aver. Now it's time to go. It's been 28 years. It is time to go home to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. I'm leaving. But before I leave, Derech Eretz. And the Derech Eretz demands that I ask permission from my father-in-law to leave. Again, to these words of Rashi, leap off the page. Perek Lamed, Pasuk Chavav, Tino es Noshai, Eini Roitze Lotzeis, Ki im Bereshus, with permission. And guess what happened? Lavan said, I don't give you permission. Nichashti, I divined, Vayivarecheni Hashem Biglolecha, Vayoymar Nokiva, Sichorcha Olai Ve'etena. Translate that into a few simple words. I don't give you permission. I need you. You are the Makor HaBracha. Ever since you came, everything went up. My stocks went up. I was blessed in every dimension of my life. You can't leave me. I don't give you permission. Yaakov Avinu couldn't leave. Yaakov, Ishtom, Yoshev V'Holim, a man of honesty, of ethics, the highest moral standing. My father-in-law doesn't give me permission. Moshe Rabbeinu also asked Yisroel, his father-in-law, for permission. Yisroel gave Moshe permission, but Lavan did not give Yaakov permission. So Yaakov stayed. He stayed for another 6 years. Is Yaakov to blame? Absolutely not. 20 years. It's now 20 years working plus another 14 years, for a total of 34 years. Yaakov Avinu is clean, clean. There is no guilt. There's no guilt. There's no complaint. Time spent learning Torah. There's no complaint for Yaakov working For Rachel, he had to save his life by giving away his money. There's no complaint for keeping his commitment that he made innocently to Rachel. There is no complaint for staying another 6 years. Derech Eretz, Kadma LaTorah. My father-in-law needs me. Everything is fine. But now is where things take a turn. After 6 years, Hashem says to Yaakov, it's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to leave. As long as you're here, I can't bless you. You're connected to an Ish Tamei. Rashi calls Lavan a person who is Tamei. And as long as you're connected to Tuma, there's no way you will be blessed with all of the brachas of the others of Avraham and Yitzchak. You have to leave. And what does Yaakov do? Yaakov immediately calls his wives, Rachel and Leah, into the Sadeh and says, we have to escape surreptitiously in the middle of the night without your father's permission. We're not going to ask him permission. We are just going to escape. We're going to run away. Chas v'shalom for me to say anything negative about Yaakov. Chas v'shalom, I don't want to be taken the wrong way at all. We're making an observation here, nothing more than an observation. We're combining with what Chazal say. Chazal do tell us that these last 6 years were problematic. Yaakov should have really left. And then Chazal say even a bigger chiddush. Once he was held accountable for the 6 years, the nature, the severity of kibud av v'em is so great. If you don't make it all the way to the end, person will be held accountable for everything. It's a very difficult concept, but we're going to work with that. As long as Yaakov Avinu was clean to the very end, this is what Chazal say, he would have been absolved, there would have been no complaints, he would not have suffered the separation from Yosef. But because there was a weak point in his time, once there was a moment when there was no excuse, he was held accountable from the very beginning. Where is that moment? Chazal say there was a moment. Where was it? Was it the entire 6 years? Can't be. It can't be that Chazal meant that the entire 6 years are considered a complaint. Because Yaakov did the right thing. He asked Derech Eretz. I need to get permission to leave. Perhaps what Chazal meant to say is at the end of those 6 years, he did not ask for permission. Hashem appeared to him and Hashem said to him, it's time to leave. He did not go to Lavan and say, Hashem appeared to me. Moshe Rabbeinu, when we compare Lavan to Moshe, it's very interesting. Moshe, when he went to Yisro, he told Yisro, Hashem appeared to me. I have to go help my brethren in Egypt. Yaakov did not do that. Yaakov called his wives and said, we're leaving. We're not going to ask permission. I can't deal with Lavan anymore. I don't want to reveal to him that Hashem told me that it's time to leave. He just picked himself up and left without permission. And then Lavan chased after, and Lavan had a bitter complaint. Loma ganafti es b'noisai. Why did you leave without permission? I would have made for you a parade. I would have made a party. Whether Lavan was lying or not is irrelevant. But Yaakov stayed for 6 years because he did not want to leave without asking permission. But at the end, he left without permission. And Chazal say there was a complaint. What was the complaint? We're trying to limit the complaint. The first 6 years was not a complaint. But if the first 6 years was only because I need permission, then how could Yaakov Avinu abandon his approach, his reasoning after 6 years and say, you know what, now we're going to leave without permission. If you're going to leave without permission now, you could have left without permission 6 years ago. And it's a revelation that the reason why you're here is not because you really want permission, because if you really wanted permission, why did you leave after 6 years without permission? If you didn't ask permission after 6 years, so is it really true, Yaakov Avinu, on his exalted level of the Isha Emes, that the reason why you stayed for the first 6 years is because you want permission? There's an inconsistency. And Chazal say because there was something lacking during these 6 years he's held accountable. And once held accountable for these 6 years, the severity of Kibud Av V'Em triggers an accounting for even the years for where there is no complaint. Going back 22 years, the 14 years before and the 2 years of journey and traveling after, for a total of 22 years. Sach HaKol, what do we take out of this idea? We take about that person in life has a lot of very good excuses. A person in life can argue and win in the Bezer Shel Naila. Pikuach Nefesh, what could I possibly do? My life is in danger. There are things I need to do to survive. It's an excellent excuse. A person can claim, I have a wife. I have to make a parnasa. I have to support a wife. I have to earn my keep. I couldn't do what I'm supposed to do. I could not do my obligations. Excellent. You win. There are no complaints. A person can claim, I have commitments. Excellent. Excellent. There are no complaints. A person can say, I couldn't achieve the goal, my potential, because Derech Eretz, Kadma LaTorah. I have to ask permission. Excellent. There are so many excuses that we can present in the Bezen Shel Naila as to why we have failed to achieve our potential. But there's one excuse that is not valid: to be inconsistent in your values. An inconsistency in your integrity, there's no excuse. Yaakov stayed the last 6 years because I cannot leave without permission. But he did just that after 6 years. Chas v'shalom to criticize Yaakov Avinu, I don't mean that in any way. Chas v'shalom. Chazal tell us that there is something lacking in these 6 years, and we're trying to limit that to even a greater degree. The very end, he escaped. What would have been if Yaakov would have said to Lavan, Lavan, I'm leaving. Hashem appeared to me. Lavan would have laughed. He would have laughed. He would have said ridiculous. He would have tried to trick him even more. There's no question he would have. Yet, Yaakov Avinu, Rashi tells us, he said, I cannot leave without permission. He said that, and he did just that. He left without permission. That inconsistency possibly is an approach on our very low level to understand the holy words of Chazal of, at this tekufa, something went wrong, which triggered a complaint, which opened up the entire 22 years as to why weren't you there for your parents at this moment in time. We have a lot of excuses in life, but we have no excuse to be inconsistent in our integrity, in our morals, in our values, in serving Hashem, and our conduct and behavior being Odom Lachaveri. Thank you very much for listening. May you all have a wonderful week, a week of bracha v'hatzlacha, success to one and to all my chaverim out there. Thank you for coming and listening. Good night.